listening to The Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three relatively grown men binge the iconic HBO series Sex and the City. So dust off those DVDs and grab yourself a white wine or even a cosmopolitan and settle in. Take it away, boys.
Welcome to The Bradshaw Boys, a podcast. I'm Corey Cavan.
I'm Kevin James Doyle.
My name's John Sieber. I love that.
Yeah, we're a podcast.
We're just a podcast.
We're just a podcast.
And it's the beginning of a new era.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Listen, it's the 12 people that still listen that will remember the pre-days and the after-days. We can't lie anymore. We can't be like, we don't drink and pod at the same time.
That is true, yeah. We are drinking seltzer.
We're seltzers. Drinking. Polars.
The thing that makes you burp that's great to talk on air with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, we had a bit for a while. Whenever I'd get on Instagram, I'd say, "What's up, YouTube?"
Now
it's the "What's up, YouTube" era.
Yeah, that's
true. Make sure to mash that like and subscribe.
Yeah. Smash that like, smash that subscribe. Hey, are you into movies? Are you into chick flicks and fucking John Corbett?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
It's great. Yeah.
Let's get into it.
It's not our first film.
No.
But it's our first
we've seen,
of this new era.
We've seen New Year's Eve.
Yep.
Shitty.
We've seen Holiday in the Wild.
We've seen Holiday in the Wild.
Whoa, Kevin, what was that?
Kevin, what?
We need some transparency.
We've seen Sex in the City 1. We've seen Sex in the City 2.
Shitty?
1, good. 2, shitty.
And we are taking the deep dive into movie exploration.
Yeah, I know that I'm a stickler for context a lot of times, but I think it's appropriate, even though we've talked about it a million times in the podcast, it's appropriate to welcome people into the new era and say not only what this episode is, but let's quickly, what's the new era?
Mm-hmm. We're gonna go through movies.
Yeah,
we're gonna go through movies that deal with love, romance, sex, maybe cities. We may even go to the country.
Ooh,
that's possible.
We may even go to Mykonos.
That's right. Exactly.
Sex in the City, as in
a
Mykonos,
city,
right?
Yeah, Sex in the City, a city in Greece. Yeah, we're not going to Athens.
Yeah, and we're gonna break these movies down, talk about their cultural context. We're going to the Mount Everest, to the Mount Rushmore, to the
Mount Olympus,
the Mount Olympus of films,
Mont Blanc.
Yeah,
Mont Blanc.
Yeah, we're gonna go through the big movies.
That's right. Is there a common theme between these movies? Are we going to do Predator? Are we going to do Star Wars? Lord of the Rings?
No.
Ooh.
I think we're looking at these films. Basically, we did 190 episodes of Sex and the City.
It's a lot of Sex and the City.
It is.
All right? It's time to graduate. It's time, especially after the unprovoked assassination of Steve Brady. It was time to leave.
The assassination of the deaf coward Steve Brady.
What?
Miranda, what? I can't hear you.
Where's my apples?
We're watching movies.
When I said the deaf coward, I just meant that they made him not be able to hear in the show.
Yeah.
You're giving him a deaf voice.
Well, no. I leaned in, but I backed off as it came out to make it more dumb. But yeah, I started there.
Kevin, this is a new era.
I know. I was leaning on the fact that it was all audio, and if someone was like, why would someone make a deaf voice for Steve Brady that was inappropriate, I'd be like, it was Corey. That was definitely Corey.
It's hard to do that these days now, not with video cameras. Yeah, we're doing rom-coms.
I think we're gonna
maybe veer into some other areas.
I think our white whale is something that we can't tackle. But we talked a bunch about just doing When Harry Met Sally, and we're like, yeah, but then it's one and done.
Right.
Yeah.
So if that's the vision.
Is that the white whale of rom-coms?
It's the greatest rom-com.
I think it's also important to know, like, set the record straight. My relationship to rom-coms is very much like that of Sex and City 190 episodes ago. I have seen very few, if any, maybe a long time ago.
Mm.
Like, my exposure to rom-coms is limited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are you two at?
I would say I'm strongly in the middle. I've seen a lot of the hits.
Take some time. Sorry.
To get through the best romantic films.
Everything will be all right. I can't think of another line that has to do with rom-coms.
This is the Jimmy Eat World podcast.
It's Jimmy World podcast now. Sorry, welcome to the middle. I'm Corey Cavan. I've seen the hits. I've seen When Harry Met Sally. I've seen You've Got Mail. I've seen 27 Dresses. Mm-hmm. But then there's a lot of other ones I haven't seen.
Yeah, and I've seen, I basically have seen a lot of art films because that's what I spend a lot of my time doing. And then there's so many of these movies.
Wow, humble brag.
No, it's the opposite because I thought I thought I'd have more people to talk to be like, have you seen Hiroshima Mon Amour? It's a French film. People are like, have you seen Ghostbusters? I'm like, no. They're like, you fucking loser.
what a spot on way to lean into. I've seen too many art films. They're like, and I'm also lonely.
Yeah.
I've seen way too many art films, and also no one will talk to me.
I don't have anyone to talk about.
All I do is stare at these leather shoes.
So I've seen a number of these, but like last year, actually almost exactly a year ago, Harlan, our good friend, who we'll probably have on the podcast regularly.
Friend of the pod.
Now that we have a little studio to feed him whiskey at.
this is his whiskey stable, like he's a horse.
But last year when it was like, restaurants were closed, it was super cold, he found out I hadn't seen Jerry Maguire. And he's like, dude, you're fucking coming over.
I feel like Harlan loves rom-coms.
He loves them. And also, so then we watched that. We watched another movie. And then when we were starting to put together some films for this, I was like, dude, it's not even interesting because there's so many bad rom-coms that are just like a copycat of When Harry Met Sally that really like the second highest grossing, and maybe it's good, but the second highest grossing rom-com of all time is What Women Want, the Mel Gibson movie.
Crazy.
And it's like, I don't know if that holds up well. That movie is similar to just Mel Gibson himself. I don't know if it holds up well.
I think What Women Want in that equation is Mel Gibson.
To go away.
Yeah.
I was going to say just Mel Gibson doing whatever he wants in Hollywood.
Yeah.
That's clearly not what women want.
That's not what women want.
Women just want him to get his Laker tickets back.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And didn't he call the cop sugar tits?
Oh, gosh. I think he did.
He called her sugar tits. So anyways, so then I was like, listen, we're not going to lock ourselves into having to watch 27 Dresses and What Women Want when there are other incredible romantic films out there. So sometimes...
Was the cop a male?
I hope so. That would be less offensive, actually. But I was like, you know what? It would be better if we get... Sex and the City is great. Yeah. So we got to talk about great films that deal in sex and romance.
Yeah.
And so that'll include Titanic.
Ooh.
You know, like, because I was like, that would be more interesting to break down Titanic.
Yeah.
You're the one who curated the list.
Well,
you talked closely with Harlan. You spoke with Katie.
Yes. I vetted the first like 10 to 15 movies. I'm just saying, we were like, we got to have banger after banger. Yeah. We are going to fucking hit the ground running.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully.
And then we can get to Marry Me.
We can get to Marry Me.
Marry Me.
Wow, you're Jennifer Lopez. Wow.
That's all. The only reason I'm doing this podcast is so after 190 episodes, I can convince you guys to watch Marry Me.
Harry Met Sally, it's When Mary Met Johnny.
Yeah.
That's the name of the podcast.
Oh, I can't wait.
Our entire thing, just like that, you know, like our goal is to like get someone on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Like we got Sarah Jessica Parker on the last
one. I want to talk about that. Like what? So I want to set a podcast goal right now.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the leading couple of romantic comedies? Is it Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan?
Yeah. It's Meg Ryan.
It's definitely Meg Ryan. Yeah.
Well, what's her name? Miranda, even they make fun of that trope and just like that. She's like, I don't want to be Meg Ryan.
Okay. So.
But then she also sticks her head out of a cab and says she feels like she's in a rom-com.
She's also like, no one's ever fingered me like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So first of all, I'm calling a shot. We're getting Meg Ryan on this podcast.
Cool.
All right.
Who is?
Did I ever tell you a Meg Ryan story?
No.
I was on a work trip and we were like on three different flights because our entire like work team was going on this thing, and a guy that worked on the show that I worked on, we were all going to the Super Bowl, and
who's the guy?
He's a writer on a show.
Oh, okay.
He's a writer. His name's Jeremy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was Jimmy Fallon.
It was not. No, it wasn't Jimmy. It was a guy named Jeremy who was a writer for the show.
Jeremy Fallon.
It was Jeremy Fallon. But he was sitting beside Meg Ryan on the plane because all these celebrities are flying to the Super Bowl, and he was just like, oh gosh, okay, play it cool. And then Meg Ryan dropped her phone between the seats. You know how it's like super hard. Anytime you drop a phone between the seats, it's like worst. Super hard to get.
She used like the pincers.
Yeah. And so he said she was just like, oh gosh, oh, just trying to get her phone. And he was like, oh, can I help? Like, what's going on? And finally she was like, yeah, can you call my phone? And he was like, and she goes, here, I'll just, here, give me your phone. And she just put her number in and was like, right, is it ringing down there? And he was like, I think. And then she goes, oh, here it is. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. He's like, yeah, no worries. She goes, oh, here's your phone. And then he just was like, I have Meg Ryan's phone number.
Oh, my gosh. What do you text her?
He just, I don't know. And I was like, did you save it? And he was like, of course I saved it.
I bet any sort of little interaction like that that she has that to her is just normal. Like, oh, I can't. I don't have change at the grocery store. Yeah, like, you know, anything. It's like in the other people's minds are like, this is basically the beginning of a movie.
I know.
And that's why, she's like, yeah, it's just my fucking life.
That's like, why when she goes to audition, she's like, what do I do? And they're like, just do what you do in real life.
Yeah.
You do rom-com moments all the time.
Yeah.
But
and then
who,
she gets off the plane. She's like, I do this bit where I get like guys to fall in love with me. Cause I don't mean to be funny. People just find me cute and funny. I mean, exactly. did you live in the 90s?
Yeah, exactly.
Is Tom Hanks, also up there. I want to make two called shots, and then when we get both those people on the pod, I want to play this clip. So Meg Ryan is one of them. Who is the second?
I mean, I think if we could get Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan.
Billy Crystal. We're getting Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan on the Bradshaw Boys.
At the same time?
No.
Yeah.
I don't think at the same time.
I just wanted to shoot to the moon.
We'll keep it in the solar system.
I get that. Yeah. I mean, okay. We'll play this clip.
We could try and do Hanks. There's something, even though it's like,
I want Chet Hanks.
That's who I want.
Oh, dude, if we get Chet Hanks, that'd be sick.
Chester Hayes.
Dude, if we could get him to record the intro song.
Oh my gosh.
Well,
all right, we got our goals.
All right. So,
all right. We got movies to watch.
Let's start the movie.
Well, this is what I would transfer to. The reason why we're starting with this is because this is one of the highest grossing films of all time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's incredible. It made 200.
We're starting with Avatar?
We're starting with My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Ooh.
I've never seen it.
Corey?
I've seen it.
Ah.
You saw it.
I have seen it, yeah.
You rascal.
You little slapdash rascal.
So this is kind of right up my alley. This kind of gets me a little chubbed up. My Big Fat Greek Wedding started as a one-woman play.
What?
Starring Nina Vardalos.
Nia.
Nia
or is it Nina?
I think it's...
Dr. Nia Wallace?
Nia. It's Nia. Dr. Nia Vardalos.
Yeah.
Vardalos.
Yeah.
So she did it 6 weeks at the Hudson Backstage Theater in 1997. And then she said... Later, she said she wrote it to get a better agent as a joke, and it was so popular. And guess who fucking shows up?
Corbett.
A number of Hollywood executives and celebrities saw it, including Rita Wilson,
okay,
who herself is of Greek origin. Do you know who her husband is?
No.
Tom Hanks.
Oh.
Do you know who her son is?
Chet Hanks.
Yep.
So guess
it
what?
It all comes back.
And, oh, holy shit. This Hanks production, Playtone... That Thing You Do, which we should fucking watch.
We should watch that movie.
I've seen that movie.
Such a good movie.
That Thing You Do, or Playtone, is his production company.
Yeah.
They made the movie.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh.
Hanks made this?
Yeah.
That's why Hanks is coming on the pod.
Well, when we get Billy Crystal on, we'll tell him that Hanks made this movie.
Yeah.
And then when Hanks
that's
is on, we'll tell him.
The only thing we'll tell Billy Crystal.
That's it. And then we kick him out.
So let's watch it. So just a quick breakdown of how we're going to watch these movies, because I feel like we need to... discuss that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
We're gonna watch them all in three acts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just very similar to what we did with Sex and the City. Do about a half an hour or the first act.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna watch it and then we're gonna come back and talk about it.
Yeah.
And the reason why we're doing that is because all the film podcasts that I listen to, it's kind of like, it was so fun when we would do Sex and the City to like not know,
yeah,
the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just think it'd be fun to like have the experience of like
not knowing.
Of us not knowing, coming back and getting to do that. And that hopefully we can go into deeper themes. Like, I think after this, we'll come back. We'll just be like, oh, like, I didn't know that you could soak feta in brine, you know, or you could be like, what is
a Kalamata olive? how is it different than a green olive?
Yeah. And things like that.
Yeah, exactly. What is spanakopita?
And we could be like, did you know 2,000 years ago? in their culture, it was cool to have sex with kids. Is there a scene of that in my Big Fat Greek Wedding?
I just love the people that have signed onto a rom-coms podcast, not knowing the past history of the Bradshaw Boys. Like, our normal fans are like, oh, we expect this.
Okay, listen to the
stick around, please. If you're new, stick around, please.
You know what's worse than the past history of the Bradshaw Boys? The past history of Grecian culture. I would say.
Pederasty. Not a great history.
All right, let's fucking watch my Big Fat Greek Wedding. All right,
here we go. All right,
Katie's going to do a summary. Katie, take it away.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Bravo Bros.
Good job.
My Big Fat Greek Wedding, directed by Joe Zwick. Everyone in the Portokalos family worries about Tula, played by Nina Vidalis, still unmarried at 30 years old. She works at Dancing Zorba's, the Greek restaurant owned by her parents. After taking a job at her aunt's travel agency, she falls in love with Ian Miller, a teacher who's tall, handsome, and definitely not Greek, played by John Corbett. Tula isn't sure which will be more upsetting to her father, that Ian is a foreigner or that he's a vegetarian. And now, back to the boys.
Wow, what a big fat first act.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
The crazy thing is, what time did we stop that? What time did we guess that the first act ended?
Kevin said once we were in all the setup of the first act, it was going the way we thought, and Kevin said, I bet at 30 minutes solid, this act is over. And at 29 minutes and 2 seconds, the act, that was pretty much our act.
We decided that as soon as Corbett and Tula, is that her name?
Tula,
met, we decided the first act will be over as soon as they go on their first date.
Yeah.
Like 29 minutes, whatever. He was like, will you go to dinner with me?
Yep.
Which was amazing. I wonder, when we go through these movies and we look at them scientifically, we should actually put together like a spreadsheet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How the act breakdowns will go, because I bet they will be within minutes of each other.
Oh, totally. Well, also, it's like you got to think, any rom-com is pretty much always a big Hollywood movie.
Yeah.
And those are so structured in terms of screenplay and act break. So, yeah, I bet they're all going to be like to the minute, like a minute or two apart at most.
Well, also because I wonder
we watch a David Lynch structured rom-com. Yeah. It'll be different then. Anyway, sorry.
But I wonder what the inciting incident would be, like her seeing Corbett at dinner, which I guess we'll break down what it is. But then I wonder what represents the end of the first act, because we could feel it. But the inciting incident isn't the date, or is it the date?
First of all, what is an inciting incident?
That's like,
well, John, let's talk about three act structure, Hollywood three act structure movies. Also, it should be said, people should watch these movies along with us. Mm-hmm. I would think that people are probably not going to watch them an act at a time.
But right. if you but do, it, we it, ended at minute 29.
Yeah, we ended at minute 29.
And it's on HBO Max right now.
Yeah, so if you want to watch a movie in parts, which I do sometimes,
yeah,
do it.
Inciting incident in any story is like the incident that creates the conflict.
Got it.
Right? Yeah. So...
So I guess I would say acts. Well, yeah. I mean, act one would just be our setup, really.
Yeah. I wonder if I'm confusing it, or I guess there could be multiple incidents, but is the incident in this like, oh, I don't like my life. And then this like guy comes in, you know, she's like, you're getting all this setup. And then it's like, then they see each other and like, well, at first she sees there's a spark. Let's likes him.
Let's start with an overview of what happened.
Yeah, you do.
We can do that. And then I actually think I have something for what our inside incident may be. Perfect. Also.
So I didn't catch the year that this is taking place. Is it supposed to be early 2000s?
1800s.
This is the 1800s as seen by the large computer screen that she was learning.
No, I think it's, I mean, the movie.
2002.
So yeah, the movie came out 2002. Okay. So it's probably present day, early 2000s. Yeah, okay. Something like that.
2002. Yeah. Right after 9/11.
I feel like it has to be a little bit based on the computers, has to be like a little bit before 2000. Yeah. I would say this is like 99.
Late 90s. Mid 90s.
Late 90s. We're in Chicago, Illinois.
Mid 90s. It's a Jonah Hill movie.
With different city, which is great.
Yeah, Chicago, not in New York anymore.
I'm from Chicago, so I have a little bit of knowledge of that city, which is kind of exciting. Huge Greek population.
Really?
And it doesn't seem like any of them are having sex.
Well, if they are, they're having a lot of sex because they're cranking out a lot of babies.
I think grandma's having sex.
Yeah,
grandma's getting. We have Tula. Tula is a 30-something-year-old woman who...
I believe she's 30.
She's exactly 30, and she works at her father's restaurant, the Dancing Zorba. She is Greek, was raised in Greek school, and comes from a very, very proud Greek family. Her father, the patriarch, loves reminding people that he's Greek. He loves Windexing everything, and he loves that every word has its root in Greek.
He believes that Windex can cure any ailment.
Yes.
From psoriasis to
COVID.
And he tells her that she's just looking, that she looks
old. You got
old.
To use the ivermectin.
Opa.
Opa. Anyway.
She's 30 years old. He tells her constantly that she looks old.
Yeah.
And she feels stuck in this life that kind of is... formed as a result of her upbringing, and she's kind of questioning whether or not it's even worth dreaming because of feeling trapped with her family. She convinces her mother to convince her father to allow her to go to Harry S. Truman College and study computers.
So that is what I think, real quick, is our inciting incident, that she hits the place where, like, my life sucks. She goes to try to ask her dad, and he says, you look old.
Yeah.
Why won't you just have babies? And she breaks down.
Well, he's just, like, going ham on an old register.
Abacus.
Yeah, this guy's abacus out.
But I think that might be the inciting incident, because that's what kind of gets her to go to school, which starts to kick up the change in her life. But she's already seen Corbett at this point.
Prior
to going to school, she was worked at the Dancing Zorba, and John Corbett came in with, what was the instrument? It's like the chimes.
The harp?
It was like a chime. Like a string chime.
When we saw him?
Does Zorba has that?
No, like that, like played when he first appeared.
It sounded like harpsichordish. It's some sort of harp, yeah.
And she goes and learns computers. She convinces her dad to let her go work at her aunt's travel agency, where she's the head of computers. And John Corbett sees her a few times and eventually comes in after getting a minor accident and asks her out to dinner. And that's where we stopped.
Yeah.
We got a lot to unpack.
Wow. Really interesting that you'd call that a minor accident. He was assaulted by an elderly lady. She just fucking rocked the hell out of Aiden.
Yeah.
Just started beating the shit
out
of him.
There was a, you know this from living in Chicago, but there was a whole epidemic where old people were playing the knockout game with younger people.
That's what she was doing.
She was like, look, there's someone who's 6'7". Let me see if I can reach his face.
Let me see if I can knock his ass out.
Yeah, so that was great job. Great job.
Thank you. So the first thing I need to look up is the Greek Turkish War, because
because the grandmother comes to live with them and she is mistaking everyone for Turks
and she hates the Turks.
She hates the Turks.
And looks like 1919 through 1922.
So she would have lived through that.
She would live through that.
So there you go. So she's you know going into senility. And thinking she's seeing Greeks everywhere. They say she sleeps with a knife under her pillow.
This is when the Ottoman Empire was just like tearing people apart. This is the same time that they...
Greek expansion. What's it say?
Greek expansion. This is the same time they came and came after the Armenians. So Turks not very liked that at that period of time.
The Turks went after the Armenians?
Allegedly. As an
As we should say, you're Armenian.
I am an Armenian man.
Well, why don't we start with this, John? Because we can talk about plot stuff, but it seems like the reason why this movie resonated so far was like, I mean, this is kind of pre-girl boss movies for girls. And it's like, that's even why the father character, like, it almost seems a little brazy. He's like, you're meaningless if you don't get married.
Yeah.
You're ugly. He doesn't say you're ugly, but it's like, you look old. Like you,
you said pre-girl boss movie. What is like the first girl boss movie?
I would say
that's a great question. What year would that have been around? Like 2015?
Earlier than that. I would say this seems like, I mean, we're in like the past era of girl bossness. I think now I think it's like kind of a little played out.
Okay.
But I don't know. I would have to think about that. But it just seems like there's a subtlety that, like, in this movie, that it's like the reason why it's set out to even be told and why it resonated with people is it's like conservative background or like a throwing off the expectations of your family in order to go out on your own. And like how difficult that was for her to do that with her father. And she even still had to ask permission, and she's still like, what do I do with my life?
Right.
And so I and then you said, as they were talking about lots of stuff, you're like, are Greeks just Armenians? So it is interesting that it's that same war.
Yeah.
So I guess what was it? Do you have any of that with your family history?
I think my mom would watch that and feel a lot differently than I would. My mom is, you know, first generation, but her father gave me like strong my grandfather vibes, just like very traditional, very like proud of where, and I'm proud of my heritage as well. I'm Armenian amongst other things, but very proud and like, this is who I am. This is what I am, at least the way I remember him. And, in this it's Windex with my grandfather. It was like duct tape. Like he would fix everything with duct tape and thought everything could be fixed by duct tape. He would put duct tape parts of his car engine back together. And it's just like, when I first saw that, I got strong grandpa vibes.
Yeah. And that's gotta be depression era stuff too. Right? Yeah,
probably. Yeah. Just, yeah.
Totally. And I think
World War II.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think when you come to this country too and you're just trying to get by, it's just like you attach yourselves to those things.
Also, but I'm letting you know, as someone who suffers from eczema,
does Windex work?
No.
Have you tried it?
No, I haven't tried it, but I know lots of things irritate it.
Don't knock it, try it.
I will put Windex on one of my eczema patches and we'll do a live Instagram over the week. I'll do a check-in on it.
Oh my gosh.
One thing you could use. Did you ever see You Don't Mess with the Zohan? Abels.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he puts hummus on everything in that movie.
That's funny.
He's always podcast like, put some hummus on goop. It.
Goop. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just funny that you're like,
Kevin, with the Bradshaw Boys, I'm going to try this new eczema treatment.
You're like, my grandfather thought that you could fix everything with duct tape. True. This guy is just like, you can fix the skin with the Windex. I'm like, dude, there's no connection there. Well,
but I'm curious because you mentioned this being like a pre-girl, like this having significance and being relatable because it's a pre-girl boss movie. But
okay,
I wonder if this is relatable because this is how life was with everyone and still might be outside of social media having like a huge impact on the way people view the world and like Midwest family values.
I would say this is not the first one, but I would say that The Proposal is one of the biggest rom-coms ever, like financially. And in that, Sandra Bullock is like, I'm at the top of my industry.
Yeah.
And there's this guy who's my idiot assistant. And he, and then I have to get married to him and I don't like him. But and
Why does she have to get married?
This because she's going to get evicted or deported.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Which we should do that movie at some point. Like it's
yeah,
it's
okay. I don't know that movie. She's going to get deported?
She's going to get deported to Canada, I think.
Is she Canadian? And she has to like keep her citizenship?
Okay. Yeah. But I don't remember all the specifics. All I know is like it is definitely like she is a beautiful woman at the top of her game that doesn't need anyone else's help. And she has to learn how to lighten up. It is not like the man's going to teach you this. And that's just, that would be an example of like girl boss.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is like all these stories, they have to go through, you know, Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson and everyone in Hollywood have to see this and have to be like, this is going to resonate around the country.
Yeah.
So it is interesting once you get to the point where a movie like this comes to be, like people have kind of beta tested and,
Was the original one woman show, did it take place in Chicago? Is that because the woman who wrote it is from Chicago or do you think they chose Chicago? Second question as a follow up is, since Chicago is like the city and it's not, Chicago is not as much as the center point of this story than like Sex and the City is, but Chicago has been in some pretty important movies. And so my question for you all is, what are the most iconic Chicago movies and or television shows?
Ferris Bueller.
The Untouchables.
Oh, The Untouchables, yeah.
Such a good movie.
Is that about the mob? The mob?
Yeah, it's about it's about Elliot Ness.
Okay. And you said
Ferris Bueller.
Ferris Bueller.
Ferris Bueller. I would say any
John Hughes.
John Hughes.
I used to deliver pizza to him.
Yeah,
by the way.
Great tipper, right?
Great tipper. I'd say Family Matters is like big Chicago.
Family Matters for sure.
There is a huge Greek population in Chicago. I don't know like what the area would be
called. Whoa, sadness.
What?
On the way. Okay, first of all, Nia Vardalos, who is the lead, and this is her story. Mm-hmm. She is from Canada.
Okay. Ooh,
yeah.
Interesting.
So and it says it doesn't sound like she moved to Chicago.
But she did do Second City, which is it's
in Chicago.
In Chicago.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So the guy who plays Aiden's friend
was her
husband from 1994 until 2018. They got divorced.
Wait, is that Ian Gomez?
Ian Gomez, the bald guy.
Yeah.
He's the bald guy that is sitting with
he was on Felicity.
Corbin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so RIP to that marriage. But
so they were married in the movie, or in the movie when the movie was shot. They were married.
Yeah, 1994 they got married. So, so yeah. I mean, you said that Greektown's like big time in Chicago.
Yeah, there's a huge Greek part. It's like right over by the United Center, like kind of western part of the city.
Okay.
First of all, I don't want to show my cards and be biased here, but Greek and Mediterranean food, hands down, my favorite cuisine.
And it's so interesting because
not even close.
There's a great Greek restaurant here that Katie and I always go to. We used to meet every Thursday there because we both worked in the area. And the guy who waits tables there, he always says the best Greek food in the country is in Chicago.
Really?
That's what he would
always... Does he sadly say that since he works at a Greek place in New York?
Yeah. That place is a great place. It's called Village Taverna in Union Square.
Oh yeah,
have you been? It's like it looks super unassuming, but it's actually really, really good.
What's it called again?
Food Village Taverna.
Oh yeah, heard of that place.
I love that place.
Do you think everyone in Astoria is just all mad all the time because the better Greek food's in Chicago?
Maybe. I'm sure it's got to be like a pizza thing though. I'm sure Astoria Greek people probably think Chicago Greek food is not as good.
Yeah, there's some good Greek places.
I feel like that's typical of this. Also reminded me, you said it about Armenians, but it's like, I went over for, I was in West Side Story when I was in
high
school. I played Tony. I was pretty bad. And
wait, how did you die again? Spoiler alert for West Side Story, by the way.
I was like,
I love this story.
I was like, wait, just.
You told us after we watched the new West Side Story about how you died.
Well, I said, like, hold your hand and they're halfway there. Hold your hand.
You made the noise.
I made the death noise. I mean, how else would people wouldn't know I died unless they heard the noise? So I had to stay in for rehearsals, and my parents went to go do our normal like Thanksgiving thing, and I couldn't leave. So I went over to my my friend's house, Alyssa Plakas. Shout out to the Plakas family. They're a bunch of lawyers in northeastern Ohio.
Yeah.
And it was kind of crazy because we haven't got to the crazy family parts, but you just got a feel for like, she's like, this is my brother. He's like, he's nice and he's going to be married one day. This is my other brother and my cousin. They fight all the time. And it's like,
yeah.
And I went over there and I'm not kidding. We were sitting around a table and I think I'd had feta cheese maybe on a thing, but it was just a big block of feta.
Yeah.
And they like handed it to me. They're like, eat the whole thing. Eat the whole thing. And I was like, I like couldn't swallow it because it's so dry. It's getting my stuck in my throat. And I like ended up getting the whole thing down and the whole family, like 20 people, like, yeah, like, clapping. And I was like, I told my parents later, I was like, man, our family is so boring. Cause they're just like all families like that. Italians, Jews, any sort of
strong immigrant culture.
Yeah.
Has like,
I mean, we have Nathan's hot dog eating. It's like the same thing.
Same thing.
Yeah, eat the hot dog.
But I feel like there's something in this movie that it's like this resonated hardcore with like all of those people.
Yeah.
And then all of the waspy people that are like a little bit buttoned up. They get to go in like eight. Totally. You get to be the tourist.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen this yet, but you get to be the tourist and be like, oh wow.
Also, it's giving you, if you don't come from a family like that, I didn't come from a family like that, but it gives you permission to come in and laugh and enjoy the ridiculousness that you may have like seen from the outside.
You know?
Like we mentioned while we were watching this about how much we love Greek diners. Greek diners are the truth. They're the best.
The best.
And it's like, because those stereotypes that are even in this movie from 18 years ago are still there. Like, the coffee, the old man with the notepad, the dirty menus. It's just like,
yeah,
they're the best.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. One thing I love about Greek diners, dirty menu.
Give me them dirty coffee stained menus.
Dirty coffee stained menus.
Listen, I love a dirty menu. If I go into a restaurant and it's got a dirty menu, I'm given a few bonus points.
I just double check and I see on that dirty menu if it says chicken souvlaki platter. And then I get
that's true.
The menu has to either be really dirty or really clean. Like, I don't want anything in the middle. I don't want someone who's like kind of clean their menus. It's either I don't give a shit about the menu and it's going to have coffee all over it and we're not printing new ones
because
that costs money.
Well, that's even in the thing. Like, there's a guy, the son is designing the new menu.
Yeah. The dad
is like, And that right there is an example of like change or stay the same, like the fight of the cultures.
Yeah. Or I want my menu to come in like a Altoids tin that like has take home granola when I'm done with it or something like that.
Oh yeah.
Like 11 Madison
Park. 11 Madison Park.
No middle ground.
Let's talk about how they met.
Yeah.
Because I was kind of, well, it has the classic she's all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how do you mean?
Because she's like, look at this ugly lady with glasses.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they definitely fall into the rom-com trope early on. That's what's interesting about it is, like, she kind of starts to have the awakening, and it's not because of him.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically like, you know, she has the, I want to do something with my life. I don't fall into the traditional roles of,
that's a good point.
Like, I'm not married because, like, my sister was, and I'm not cranking out babies. Like, I'm 30 and I'm unmarried, but which is a little bit Sex and the City. It's like, I'm unmarried, but I want to go to school. I want to do these other things, you know? But you're right. She's like totally frumped up. And then all of a sudden she learns how to put in contacts at 30. And
sits with the cool kids in college.
Yeah, exactly. After the kids are making fun of her.
It'd be amazing if she just brought out some like ridiculous Greek food.
She just eats like 10 baklavas
She just gets out like a ham and American cheese sandwich.
Yeah, exactly. Lights some cheese on fire.
Yeah. Opa! She's like, a little halloumi.
But But yeah, she kind of already has the she's all that moment, like the awakening. And then so she's already, which is kind of a thing of life, you know, yeah. Like when you're in kind of when it's almost like when you're moving in your own aura, your pheromones and your attractiveness are setting that off, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like she didn't really need Corbett to bring her out. Like she'd already had the aha moment with him, but then she was like, I'm moving this other way in my life.
Yeah. That's interesting. I wonder if, like, when we watch the next scene, if he, like, realizes he's like, oh, you're the ugly lady from the restaurant? Holy shit. Are you serious? Because, yeah, she starts putting
that's,
on
her. Oh, so I assume that he recognized her.
He did.
I think he kind of had a thing for it.
I don't know. I mean, you know what? I take it back. I don't think he does.
I'm not sure.
You know, actually, you're right. I don't think he does because then he's going to meet the family.
Yes.
And he's going to be like, this is your family? Oh, this is your like, wild, your big, fat Greek family.
Wow. This is interesting. And
I assumed
that he didn't. I don't know what I thought. Huh.
Well, I mean, I kind of just, it'll be interesting to see, but I think there's a chance of him being into her.
Yeah.
Because then that takes her out. I mean, then she's going to have to deal with, like, I'm 100% sure this will be a theme. Then she has to deal with, like, her future and her past. Mm-hmm. And, like we all do, you know, that it's like, yes, he's my dad. Yes, he's, like, a fucking asshole, but he's my dad. And he's, like, did everything for us.
Yeah.
And, like, yes, like, you're a cool young person. I'm sorry my family is, like, too loud for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think he doesn't realize. Also, it is cool that she made those decisions for herself, and that is what gave her the confidence to even be flirtatious with him.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because I know
she wasn't flirtatious. Like, no, she hid behind the cash register the first time she saw him, and then hid behind the water cooler the second time.
The second time, but then the third time,
she was trapped. She was on a phone call. She couldn't. I think she would have.
She was, but she did come out of her shell through.
She came out of her shell really quickly.
Yeah.
Someone who hid behind a water cooler, and then next thing you know, they're sitting behind their desk, and she's like booping his nose. That was like a really fast transition.
Well, yeah. She saw him get the shit kicked out of him by Grammy, and then she made a fool of herself. So they both.
That's something I want to ask. Is like is slapstick comedy really like in a lot of romantic comedies, like him getting beat up by grandma,
yeah,
like the family's grandma kind of like running around being lost, and then her getting like yoinked back by the headset.
I think so. I also think a theme that's going to be in a lot of rom-coms is wacky old people. I mean, like, hey, when Harry Met Sally is like, I'll have what she's having. It's always like,
oh, we need to bring back people. Wacky old people.
Oh dude, there's gonna be definitely some wacky old people in the movies we're gonna watch.
I mean there's
the WOP.
Wacky old people.
The wet old pussy.
I mean, I think there's a lot, because that's what's funny. It's like, I don't, it works. It's definitely not laugh out loud funny. I wonder if when you're in a theater, if everyone's like, ah!
Yeah.
Like, but it definitely.
But it was used as a device to get them to open up with each other really fast, where normally that would have taken like a long time. Yeah.
I mean, that was them falling is Meg Ryan in real life losing her phone. That it's just like, you
call my phone.
Yeah. You get like your record skips, and then you have to, you take the mask off, and then you're giving other people COVID. No, I'm kidding. You take your mask off, and then you're all of a sudden you're a little more vulnerable and able to be yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about how much physical comedy Carrie Bradshaw does.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's true. It also, it just kind of like, it's the palate cleanser of, because there's always the awkwardness, especially in these movies. There's all the awkwardness like, hey, oh, sorry, it's you. Oh, and then someone's like, yup. And they just drop a tray of drinks. And then he's like, man, can't believe you dropped those drinks. Well, you made me drop the drinks. Yeah. You know, then it's like, bam, all of a sudden, all cards are on the table, and we're in our next act of, oh, now we're connected, and you know, we're ready to go out to dinner together.
Totally. I wonder if people do that. I wonder if anyone's like tried that in real life. Like, oh, I see someone I'm interested in, I'm going to purposely take a spill or a fall or
That's
like a pickup artist technique.
I think that was in the show Cheers. I think the coach that was like the guy that owned the bar or something like that said one time he fell down a flight of stairs to impress a woman. You know, I bet there's people that do that.
I'm not against it. I'll do it.
Dude, I'll walk in front of a car.
I'll walk in front of a car.
To impress anyone. Anyone.
I'll just need through a straw for the rest of my life, but we fell in love.
Exactly. I just need approval. I'll hurt myself.
We're in love. She has to wipe my ass, but we're together forever. Also, I do have to say, there was a good line that was when Nia is explaining, they're trying to get the dad to let her go to college.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, he's never going to go for it. And she's man is the head of the household. And she's like, but the woman is the neck.
Yeah.
And the head can't turn anywhere without the neck. And I was like, that's interesting.
So good. Well, it's funny because the thing that I think is interesting about this movie and other movies we'll see like this, but especially this one, because it was the most successful romantic comedy for years, mm-hmm. is that it's family friendly. So it's like got the subversion of like, I want to go to college. And like it's kind of like, yep, it is a male head of the household patriarchy thing. But also we're gonna take care of that.
Totally.
But it's like all within under the umbrella of family friendly, you know?
Well, I'm really excited for this project. I'm excited to see where it goes. I'm really excited to see what happens in the second act. I'm excited that you all have joined us mm-hmm. on this so far. This is awesome. So I'm super pumped to be watching a movie rather than Sex and the City.
Yeah, totally. Same here. So when we come back, we're gonna start on minute 29 of Big Fat Greek Wedding. See where we go.
We're gonna go to Act Two.
We're
gonna go to Zoabas. We're gonna get a spanakopita and a moussaka. A moussaka.
Thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to doing more.
We're the Bradshaw Boys.
Later, taters.
Later, taters.